Welcome to our deep dive all about the world of injection molding. You know, that process that makes almost every plastic object we see and touch, everything from our toothbrushes to even like parts in airplanes, it can seem a little mysterious, but that's why we're here. You've given us some amazing articles and notes, and we're going to try to unlock the secrets of how these everyday objects are really made. It's like getting a backstage pass to the factory.
What I think is so cool about injection molding is that it's not just some factory process. It's a bit of an art form.
Yeah.
You know, it combines the precision of engineering, but with some, creativity too. It's more than just melting some plastic and pouring it into a mold.
Yeah.
It's about making sure every step is carefully controlled to create, a really great product, one that works exactly as it should.
So it's not as simple as just melting plastic and pouring it in, huh? There's more to it than you think at first. So to really understand it, let's focus on the seven essential components of the injection molding process,
yeah. And
not just what they are. We need to look at WHH, why they matter, and how they all fit together, right?
Exactly. We'll start with the most important part, the molding parts themselves. Think of these as the sculptor's tools. They're what shape the plastic into its final form.
I like that, the sculptor's tools. So we're talking about chisels and hammers and stuff. What exactly are these molding parts?
Well, instead of chisels and hammers, we have very carefully engineered molds. These molds are made up of different parts like punches, concave molds, cores, and molding rods. Each one is designed very carefully so it can create a specific feature on the final product.
All right, so let's imagine we're making something familiar, like a water bottle cap. How do those different parts come into play when making something like that?
That's a perfect example. Let's use that cap. So the punches are what would make those spiral threads that are inside the cap, the threads that let it screw onto the bottle. And the core makes sure that the cap is actually hollow. It makes that empty space inside that the plastic goes around.
Oh, okay. So it's like a puzzle piece, but instead of fitting together, the plastic fills the space around it. I get it.
Mm.
But I bet those molds have to be super precise.
You're right. Precision is key. It's not just about the shape either. We have to choose the right materials to make the molding parts from too. A lot of times we use hardened steel because it's strong and lasts a long time. That's good for when you're making thousands of parts. But if you're just making a prototype, maybe just one or two to test it out, then you might use aluminum instead. Aluminum is easier and faster to work with.
So there's a balance then between choosing the right material and making sure those parts are made perfectly.
Exactly. And even then, it doesn't stop there. These molding parts need to be taken care of and cleaned regularly. We check them for wear and tear all the time. That's really important. If we don't, then we might get tiny imperfections, and those can turn into big problems with the final product.
Right, like if you try to carve wood with a dull chisel,
yeah,
it won't give a clean cut.
Exactly. Just like a sculptor needs good tools, if you want to do good injection molding, you need to make sure the molding parts are perfect and well taken care of.
Okay, that'll make sense. So we've got our sculpting tools all ready to go. But how do we get that melted plastic to the mold? It can't be as simple as just pouring it in.
You're right about that. There's actually a whole other system for doing that. We call it the gating system. It's kind of like a river system that's been carefully engineered.
A river system. Tell me more about that.
Well, think of the hot, melted plastic as the water flowing through the river. The mold itself is the landscape, and the gating system is what guides that flow from the injection machine right into the mold. We have channels, like main channels and smaller branch channels, and then we have gates and cold wells, too.
Oh, I see. So are the gates like dams? They control the speed and pressure of the plastic?
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. The gates are really important because they're what control how fast and with how much force the plastic gets pushed into the mold. And those cold wells you mentioned, they act kind of like filters. They catch any bits of plastic that have cooled and solidified before they can get into the mold and mess things up.
So it's important to have a smooth flow of plastic, just like a well-maintained river.
That's a great way to put it. And just like a river, the way you design the gating system is critical. Where you put the gates, how big they are, how the channels are laid out, all of that makes a difference. It can change how fast the mold fills up, if there will be defects, all kinds of things.
It sounds like there are lots of things that could go wrong. How do engineers make sure they get it right? They can't just rely on trial and error, right?
Oh, absolutely not. It's way more sophisticated than just guessing. These days, engineers use some really cool software. It lets them simulate how the plastic flows through the gating system and make sure it's perfect before they even start making the mold.
Wow, they can actually test it out virtually before making the real thing? That's amazing.
Yep, they can tweak the design, try different things out, and catch any potential problems before they become real problems.
So technology plays a big role in making this process really efficient and precise.
Totally. But even with all the simulations and planning in the world, there are always going to be challenges. We have to think about things like warpage. That's when the plastic changes shape a little bit as it cools, and shrinkage, too. And we need to make sure there aren't any flow marks. This can make the surface look uneven. And of course, we want to use as little plastic as possible. Got to think about the environment, right? So it's a process of constant learning and making things better all the time.
I was starting to realize that there's more to making a little plastic bottle cap than I ever imagined. And speaking of precision, I guess our next component is all about stability and making sure everything lines up properly, right?
You got it. Now we're going to talk about the guide mechanism. This part is kind of like the unsung hero of injection molding.
Unsung hero.
Yeah.
That makes it sound pretty important.
It's super important. It's kind of like the foundation of a building. The guide mechanism makes sure that everything stays in place and aligned perfectly during the whole molding process. And remember, we're talking about clamping those molds together with a ton of force. So this mechanism is really important. It keeps things from going wrong.
Okay, so how does it work? What actually keeps those molds from moving around under all that pressure?
It's all thanks to some really carefully engineered components that all work together. We use guide pins, sleeves, and something called positioning cones. They make sure that the two halves of the mold line up absolutely perfectly. Without those parts, you could end up with misaligned halves or flash. That's when some of the plastic squeezes out where it shouldn't, or even uneven parts.
So it's like those little tabs you get on furniture that you have to line up perfectly before you screw the pieces together,
Yeah.
but like on a much bigger scale.
Exactly. You
Yeah.
got it. And it's not just about lining things up at the start. This mechanism has to keep things perfectly aligned over and over again, thousands, sometimes even millions of times. The guide mechanism has to stand up to all that pressure and make sure those molds open and close smoothly every single time.
So it really is the unsung hero working hard behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What happens if this mechanism fails? Is a big problem.
Oh, yeah, it can cause major quality issues. You might end up with parts that aren't all the same size. You could get rough surfaces, all kinds of problems. Remember, the whole point is to create identical, high-quality parts every single time. And the guide mechanism is a big part of making that happen.
Okay, so now we've got our perfectly aligned molds, and the plastic is flowing smoothly thanks to that gating system, and the molding parts are all doing their thing, shaping the object. But now I'm wondering, what about temperature? Does that play a role in all of this?
Yes. Good thinking. Temperature is actually incredibly important, and that's where our next component comes in the cooling and heating system. Think of it like the chef in our injection molding kitchen. They're the ones making sure we get that temperature just right.
So it's kind of like baking a cake. Too hot and it burns. Too cold and it's a soggy mess.
Yeah.
But how does temperature affect plastic in injection molding?
It affects pretty much everything, how the plastic flows, how fast it cools and becomes solid, even the strength and how it looks in the end. We have two main parts to this system, cooling channels and heating elements.
So the cooling channels are like the refrigerator and the heating elements of the oven. They both have their roles to play at different times.
That's the idea. So those cooling channels have water flowing through them, and this water cools the plastic down really fast once it's been injected into the mold. This helps the part to solidify really quickly, and that speeds up the whole process, but it also makes sure the temperature is even everywhere, which gives a nice smooth finish.
So it's all about finding that balance between making things fast and also precise.
Exactly. And that's where those heating elements come in. Now you might be wondering, why would you need to heat up plastic that's already melted? But sometimes you need to give certain types of plastic a little extra heat so they can flow smoothly. We're talking about things like thermoplastic elastomers. Those are the flexible, rubbery kind of plastics or high-performance plastics that need to be at a very specific temperature to be at their best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're making sure the plastic is the perfect consistency to flow into the mold, like giving it a little warm-up before a race, right?
Oh, exactly. We have to make sure the plastic is viscous enough for molding, and the heating elements help us do just that.
Wow, I never realized how much thought and engineering goes into making something that we usually just take for granted.
Me neither. And we still have more to explore. But for now, let's take a break. We'll talk about the rest of the components when we come back for part two of our deep dive.
Welcome back. It's great to be diving back into this fascinating world of injection molding. I feel like we're starting to really get a grasp on how these everyday plastic parts are made. Who knew there was so much to it,
I
right?
know, right? It's amazing what you discover when you start looking a little closer. And the cool thing is, we've still got more to explore, more key components that all work together to make sure the whole process runs smoothly.
Well, I'm all ears. Let's keep going. So last time we were talking about how important temperature is and how those cooling channels make sure the plastic solidifies properly. But I'm kind of stuck picturing that newly formed object still inside the mold. How does it actually get out? Are there like tiny little robots with miniature tools in there prying it loose?
Not quite robots and crowbars, but we do have a special component just for that job. It's called the ejector device, and it's pretty important. It makes sure that the part comes out of the mold smoothly without getting damaged in the process.
Ejector device. Sounds serious. So is it like a little catapult that just flings the object out?
Thankfully, not quite that dramatic. It's much more controlled than that. It's more like a gentle nudge, a carefully timed push to release the object.
Okay, so I'm imagining something like a hand gently pushing a delicate little sculpture out of a mold. I bet the timing's crucial here, right? You wouldn't want to eject it before it's cooled down enough, would you?
You're absolutely right. Timing is everything. If you try to eject the part too early while it's still soft, you could warp it or break it. But if you wait too long, it can get stuck in the mold. We have to find that perfect moment, not too early, not too late, so the part is strong enough to come out without any problems.
Sounds like a delicate dance. Okay, so the ejector device helps our part make a graceful exit. But we also talked about lateral parting and core pulling, right? What are those all about?
Ah, yes. Those mechanisms are used when we want to make more complex designs. Lateral parting means the mold can split open sideways instead of just up and down.
Oh, interesting. So it's like adding another dimension to the way the mold opens up.
Exactly. It gives us more options to create parts that have undercuts, you know, those little grooves or lips that go inwards, or other intricate features that would be hard to make with just a simple straight pull.
Oh, okay, I get it. So that's how they make things like bottle caps with those little threads on the inside. And what about core pulling? What is that?
Remember how we talked about the core, the part that forms the hollow space inside a water bottle cap?
Yeah, I remember. It was like a negative puzzle piece, right? It makes the empty space inside the object.
Exactly. A lot of the time, those cores stay put inside the mold, but sometimes we need to make more complicated internal shapes. Maybe we want to add threads on the inside or even those undercuts we talked about. That's when we use core pulling. It's a system that pulls the core out after the plastic has become solid.
So it's like there's a tiny little crane inside the mold that grabs the core and lifts it out once the plastic is hard.
That's a great way to think about it. These mechanisms might seem pretty complicated, but they're really important. Without them, we'd only be able to make simple shapes. Lateral parting and core pulling let us get much more creative with injection molding.
It's amazing how it all builds on itself, each component adding more and more flexibility. So we've got the ejector device doing its thing, making sure the part comes out cleanly. And we've talked about lateral parting and core pulling for making those fancy designs with undercuts and internal features. But you also mentioned something called the exhaust system last time, and I'm still a little confused about that one. Plastic objects don't need to breathe, do they?
No, they don't breathe like we do. But there's another kind of breathing that's really important in injection molding. See, when we inject that hot plastic into the mold, there's also air inside the mold.
Oh, I didn't think of that. So what happens to the air? Does it just get squished and trapped in the plastic?
If it did, we'd have all kinds of problems. That trapped air would stop the plastic from filling the mold properly, which means we'd end up with parts that aren't complete. And the trapped air could also make weak spots and bubbles in the plastic too, or even burn marks on the surface because all that hot air gets trapped inside. So yeah, we definitely don't want that air trapped in there.
So the exhaust system is like a pressure release valve. It lets the air escape and make sure the plastic can flow into all the little nooks and crannies without creating air pockets.
You got it. It basically creates an escape route for the air so the plastic can take its place. It's kind of like when you make a cake and you tap the pan on the counter to get rid of air bubbles.
Ah, that makes sense. So the exhaust system might seem like a small detail, but it sounds like it's really important for making sure the part turns out how we want.
Absolutely. It's all about setting up the right conditions inside the mold so the plastic can solidify properly. It's kind of like the unsung hero working behind the scenes.
I like that. The unsung hero of the injection molding process. making sure everything runs smoothly.
You know, it's funny how often it's those little things that people don't think about that make all the difference.
Wow, we've covered so much ground. We started out thinking about these plastic things we use every day, but now it feels like we've been on a journey, like we've gone behind the scenes and seen how complex it all really is.
I know, right? It's so easy to take things for granted. We see a simple plastic object, but we rarely stop and think about all the steps and all the amazing engineering that went into making it. It's a testament to just how creative people can be, how we can take this raw material plastic and turn it into almost anything.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the stuff around me now, my phone case, the container for my lunch, even parts of my computer, and I'm thinking about everything we just talked about. It's kind of mind-blowing.
It really is. And you know, I think it's worth taking a minute to really think about that. Next time you pick up something plastic, try to imagine those molding parts carefully shaping it. Picture that hot plastic flowing through the gating system, the guide mechanism keeping everything aligned, those cooling channels doing their thing to harden the plastic, and the ejector device giving it a little push out of the mold. And remember that exhaust system we talked about? All those things working together, it's pretty impressive.
I like how you put that. It's like a well-rehearsed performance, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the parts working together. But it makes me wonder, what's next? What does the future hold for injection molding? Is it going to be more of the same, or are there new exciting things coming?
Oh, things are definitely changing all the time. There are lots of new and exciting things happening with injection molding. We have all sorts of new materials being developed, like bioplastics. Those are a much more sustainable alternative to the usual plastics that come from petroleum. And then you've got 3D printing that's changing so rapidly. We're starting to see those two technologies combine, and who knows what that will lead to.
It's so cool to think about all the possibilities. Imagine being able to just print a custom mold whenever you need it. And use environmentally friendly plastics, too. We could change so many industries.
Absolutely. Healthcare, consumer products, the possibilities are endless. As these technologies continue to develop, I think we're going to see even more creative and sustainable solutions.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see what happens next. But for now, it's time to wrap up this deep dive into the world of injection molding. We've learned a lot, haven't we?
We have. And, you know, I think the biggest takeaway for me is to never underestimate those everyday objects. They may seem simple, but there's a lot of ingenuity and creativity that goes into making them.
And to our listeners out there, we hope you enjoyed this journey as much as we did. Hopefully it's inspired you to see the world around you in a new light.
Remember, the next time you pick up a plastic object, don't just see the object itself. Think about all those amazing steps we talked about, the process, the creativity, and all those possibilities for the future.
Beautifully said. Keep those minds curious, everyone. The world is full of fascinating things just waiting to be discovered.